Our first reading today is from Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. But by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat, and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading today is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 26. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God.
So it's great to be able to speak to you live today. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your story and our place in it. And as we spend time now looking at these readings, Lord, help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. If I said to you, creation, what would you think of? What would you say? What comes to mind? When I think about creation, I think about the fact that a couple of days ago I went for a walk, and we were walking along, and suddenly behind this bit where we turned was a Highland cow sitting underneath a tree. It wasn't what we expected, but it reminded me of the majesty and the majesticness of creation. Later on that week, I went for a walk with my prayer triplet, and we ended up walking around an orchard praying for each other, where we had the flowers on the trees, and it was just beautiful to be able to do that. Maybe when you think of creation, you think of birdsong, being woken up by the birds in the mornings, possibly too early for some of us, but it's a beautiful sound. Or the blue sky. And I think back to last year when China were talking about the fact that lockdown enabled them to suddenly, literally, they saw the blue sky, they saw the sun, because lockdown had meant that the pollution was much lower, and they could see God's creation in a different way for the first time for a long time. Maybe you think of being created and the fact that we are made to be creative. I know we have some incredibly creative people here at Christ the King. Well, in this series, we're going to be thinking about our place in his story, our place in God's story. As we scan through the Bible, we see the bigger picture. But we think about the fact that it's not just God's story, it's ours as well. And today, we're going to start at the very beginning. And surely that's a very good place to start. No, I'm not going to sing it. Last week, Rob reminded us that the Bible tells us that God created. God created out of nothing. And the big picture is this. God created everything around us. He created the sky, the land, the sea, the creatures, the planets, the plants, the animals. And he created us. He created you. He created me. And we see that right at the start of Genesis in chapters 1 and 2. The first couple of chapters give us the context of our reading today. We see harmony. We see creation made to be good. God said it was good. In chapter 2, we see a sort of more in-depth description of the creation of humankind. And again, God said it is good. There is no sense of discord. It is all harmony. But then we get to chapter 3, and in chapter 3 we begin to see discord, the fall. Now I'm going to try something. I'm going to go over to the piano just to make things a little bit more complicated for Andy. And I want us to think this morning about harmony, because when we get harmony, we get a lovely sounding chord, hopefully if I play the right notes. And all those notes work together. There is a sense of working in unison, in unity with one another. Like that. So we get harmony. Every note in harmony is in the right place. And in Genesis, we see harmony in three ways. Firstly, in the beginning of Genesis, that is. Firstly, we see harmony between the relationships between humans. Genesis tells us that God created men and women, humans, both male and female, made in the image of God, of a relational God, three in one, that he created humankind to be there for each other, to be fruitful, to increase in number. And we're told that God saw that humans were good as well. We're not left out. And in Genesis 2, we're also reminded that male and female, Adam and Eve, were together. We're told that they were naked. They felt no shame. They were perfectly comfortable with each other. There was harmony. Some translations use husband and wife at this point, but the Hebrew doesn't. In a sense, in the original, it's neither of them is owned by the other. Neither is in charge over the other. Rather, that they are equal and belong to one another so that none of them, neither of them, can give themselves to someone else. There is harmony. And so we have an account of God making everything. That everything was good and the relationships between humankind was good and beautiful as well. We read of Adam and Eve walking with no shame through the garden with God. And that is how chapter 3, our reading, is set. But there's more harmony to think about, because we also see the harmony in the relationship between humankind and God. We read in the first couple of chapters of Genesis that God provides for humankind. He talks with them. He gives them roles like naming the animals. I'd love to do that. I wonder what I'd come up with. I mentioned this the other week, but in Genesis 2, we're reminded that God breathed into humankind. He doesn't do this to any other creature. So there is something special about how God sees us. Our relationship with God is more. We were given his very life breath. And there is a relationship there too. Harmony between God and humankind. And right into Genesis 3, we see that. Genesis 3, verse 8 says this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now that would suggest to me that it was usual for God to walk in the garden, that they knew the sound of him walking in the garden. So it wasn't a surprise to them. So at creation, there was harmony between God and humankind. Finally, there was relationship, harmony between humankind and the rest of creation. God told humankind to care for creation, to look after it, to name it. And at no point does Genesis 2 tell us that it was ever hard work, or that there were any issues between humanity and animals, or between humanity and the ground. It was all good. Harmony, creation, was cared for. There was harmony between humanity and creation. We've heard of the good and the beautiful world created by God and Eden in its splendor, with God walking with Adam and Eve, who are perfectly happy in each other's company, caring for all around. But sadly, we know it didn't last. In Genesis 3, in our reading, we see an account, maybe a parable, of how this happened. We know that harmony is pleasant. Everything is there for a reason. Everything has its place. The notes work well together. I'm just going to go to the piano one more time. So we have harmony in those notes. But the problem is, at the fall, things started to go wrong. And we ended up with clashes. We ended up with discord. Things not as they were. Discord, as you heard then, is not pleasant. Everything is there for a reason. It has its place when it's in harmony. But in discord, the notes clash with each other. No note is really sure of its place. And that is what happened at the fall, discord. First, we see discord between Adam and Eve, between humans. God had given Adam the instruction about not eating from the tree of knowledge. But the serpent confuses them and tempts them. He questions God. Now the serpent tries first with Eve. And she stands firm to begin with. Remember, she hadn't been in existence when God told Adam the command about that tree. But the relationship between Adam and Eve was good. That had all been communicated. But eventually, they fall, and they both eat from the tree. Eve gives Adam some, and he eats it too. Yes, Eve does give in. she gains this desire to have this knowledge. But if she is guilty for giving in, surely as Adam is guilty for not saying anything. They are both complicit. And they realize that they are naked. Shame enters the world. Think about that. There was no shame before that. In a world of shaming culture, God's design was no shame. And even in their shame, God provides them clothes. He still cares for them. Later in the chapter, we see the result of this even more, because harmony turns to discord as the relationship breaks down. There is blame. There is a promise that the woman's desire will be for her husband, and he will rule over her. This is not how God designed it. It is a result of the fall, sin entering the world. We also see discord between God and humankind. Let's face it, the serpent has certainly done a number on Adam and Eve. He's tempted them to question God, even to mistrust his intentions, to question his goodness. Adam and Eve hide from God when they realize that they are naked. They are afraid of God. No sense of that before this point. And the final outcome of this is that God banishes them from the garden. The garden where God walks. Away from relationship with him. We're told that death enters the world. They will no longer be in his presence. And that is a powerful description of the result and the consequence of sin. Separation from God himself. The final discord is between humankind and creation. As a result of the serpent's actions, God puts enmity between it and the woman and her offspring. And the man is told that working on the ground will be hard work and toil. Thorns and thistles are in the ground for the first time. That is where weeds start. You know, they too are a result of the fall, of sin entering the world. Think about that the next time you're gardening. Although, what is a weed? Let's not get into that. So what we see here is harmony becoming discord in all of these relationships. In the fall, we see the effect of sin entering the world. And let's face it, we still see that today. This is a fallen world. It's a world with breakdown of marriage and other relationships. People treating others badly. A world where racism is a terrible reality, where there are even reports about the Church of England and systemic racism. Relationships are in confusion. It's a world we don't look after, where our seas are full of man-made plastic, a world where we struggle with sin, and so on and so on. But as we will see, it's not one without hope. It's not a world that God gave up on. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't given up on you. And that is the story of the rest of Scripture, the story of salvation, his story. But we have a place in it. And the beauty, the good news, is that Jesus came to right all of those relationships. The ones between God and humans, between humans themselves, between humans and creation. Just think, for example, of those words in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to enable all of that. Just a couple of weeks ago, we remembered the death on the cross of Jesus, and we celebrated his resurrection. The only way God could right all of those relationships was through someone who was fully human, but also perfect and sinless. Jesus. A second Adam, if you like. Our reading from 1 Corinthians says that. A second Adam paying the price for our sin and our mistakes. And the outcome of that is that we are in a world where forgiveness and right relationships are possible. Jesus came to resolve that discord and make harmony possible. You might ask then, why is this world not perfect now? Because Jesus did all of that. Well, later in the Bible, we will see how Jesus talked about a kingdom to come, one that he would usher in, that we would see glimpses of now, but not completely until he returns. one that we are called to pray, your kingdom come. We're told that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, a new Eden, if you like, one where we will dine with God, where there will be no more tears or hurt or pain, one where creation is as God intended. So what now then? Well, if you know Jesus, if you trust in him, you have that promise of what is to come. But it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you like. Yes, Jesus has opened up a way for us to eternity, but Jesus makes a difference now. We are part of God's kingdom, and therefore we have access to that right relationship with God now. And we have the potential of right relationships now. And we have the opportunity to care for God's creation now, to live in a way which reflects what is to come. So how might our relationships as Christians with one another show harmony and not discord? How might you relate to others, those of different ethnicities, those who have different abilities, different social groupings, at different ages? What might you do? How might you need to demonstrate the loving forgiveness of Jesus in your relationships? Those of us on the well-being journey thought about the importance of that just this week. Secondly, as Christians, we should be leading the way in how we care for God's creation. So how are you doing that? Did you know, for example, that caring for God's creation is one of the Church of England's 5 marks of mission? Let's lead the way in what cleaning products we use, in the way we recycle, the way we use plastic, all of those things. Because it is a way of showing Jesus redeeming and bringing harmony to this fallen world. Finally, if you know Jesus, hold on to the fact that he, the second Adam, has made right the relationship between you and him. But as with any relationship, we need to work at it. So I encourage you this week, spend time growing that relationship with him, seeing how you are part of his story. If you don't know Jesus, please do something about that. It's through Jesus that you will know a right relationship with God, your creator. It is through Jesus that you will have the hope of what is to come. So there was harmony. Then there was discord. And now, through Jesus, harmony is made possible once more. Amen.